I'm always amazed at that one, but that's way high on the list. But there are things like this. I wish I had said yes to taking more vacation time. Wish I had said yes to taking more time with my family. Wish I had said yes to being riskier in life and taking the risk that I was afraid to take. Nowhere in the top 10 is, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. Nowhere in the top 10 is, I wish I'd gotten further college degrees. Nowhere in the top 10, and the list is long, of all the things, I wish I'd bought a different kind of car, I wish I'd bought a bigger house. None of that is anywhere there. The things that we pursue, the things that we invest our lives are just not there. Sadly, also one of the things that's not there commonly is, I wish I had said yes to God. And for us, in coming here this morning to again hear the Easter story, my 29th Easter, my 29th time to tell basically the same story again here at Central Community, and to say, okay, am I saying yes this year to the Easter story? Am I giving myself completely to it and saying yes? I mean, if I were to ask you right now the three best things that you've said yes to in life, I mean, bam, 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 could you come up with them right off the top of your head? I mean, asking Debbie to marry me, boy, asking her out on a date, one of the best things I ever did in my life. You know, just right off the top, it's easy to come to. Asking Jesus into my heart, one of the best things I ever did for us, saying yes to following God's call. Boy, that's just, those are some of the best things in our lives. The things that have transformed everything that we've done and have touched so many other lives. I hope that by the end of this service, you can come off right off the top of your head and you can just go right down the things that you've said yes to that you know are the best and the most important things, the things that have changed you. The Easter story is on the back of the card inside your program this morning. From Matthew, the 28th chapter. It says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. We had our Good Friday services. You know, at this point, that Jesus was crucified on Friday. He's been in the tomb. He's been in the ground all day Saturday. It's Sunday morning. They hadn't been able to prepare his body for burial. They wanted to rush out. They had missed him. They wanted to be there again. And so now they're going out, whether to prepare his body for burial, whether he was alive or dead, they just wanted to be near him again. And so early in the morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. I really think if you were to circle some important words in this long text this morning, the Easter story, these are the words that I would have you circle. And as they went. And as they went. I think all too often we think that we need to become something before we can meet Jesus. But you see, the only thing they needed to do was trust the angel to go and tell them. And as they went, Jesus came to them. And as they went, Jesus met them. You do not need to prepare yourself and be ready for whatever it is God wants you to do. All you need to do is say yes, and as you go, Jesus will come to you, and Jesus will prepare you for whatever it is that he has for you to do in life. Jesus will make you ready as you go to be obedient to the message that he sends you in your life with. We don't need to clean ourselves up. We don't need to be perfect. We don't need to make sure that everything's ready and that a pathway's cut out before us. We just need to say, I'm going to go. And as we go, Jesus comes to us and he meets us. So on the front of your card, it says, we say yes to Jesus at Easter. First of all, when we accept that without him, life is without purpose. When we accept that without him, life is without purpose. It says early on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Why does anyone go to visit a tomb? We know that the people who are there are dead. My parents are buried not 2 miles from my house at National Cemetery. In the first 2 years after their death, I stopped by there constantly. I would be by there once a week, stopping out there, walking out there, crying, sitting there. In the last 2 years, it's been 7 years since Dad died, 8 years. I don't think I've been there in a year or two. I don't stop near as much. Is it because I don't respect my father near as much? Because I don't love him? No, I still love him so much. But here's the thing, there's part of me that no longer feels that need to go there to where I felt like something of him was still existing. But that wasn't that way for these women that morning. That morning they woke up, and dead or alive, they had watched him be brutally killed. It wasn't like they had seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ. They had lived the Passion of the Christ. They had been loved and lifted up by Christ Jesus. They had watched him be brutally killed. They had listened to him take his last breath. They had heard him say, "It is finished." They had watched him wrap his body. They had watched him put him in the tomb. And they just wanted to be nearby. They just wanted to be close again. They accepted that their lives without him, dead or alive, were without purpose. They had no purpose without him. And so they wanted to go down even in death, to be close by. For us, we need to understand that our lives outside of Jesus, dead or alive, are without purpose until we accept him into our hearts, that we say, yes, Jesus, I need you to guide and direct me. Secondly, we say yes to Jesus at Easter when we believe that Jesus is alive and we ask him into our hearts. When we believe, these are the basic ABCs of the whole thing, so it's easy to get. I don't want this to be too confusing for anyone here, so it's not overly complex. The basic ABCs, when we believe that Jesus is alive and ask him into our hearts, it says, I know you're looking for Jesus, the angel said. This wasn't tough. The angel's at the tomb where Jesus was. An earthquake's happened. He's radiant, so radiant that the guards have fallen down in fear into a deep faint, and yet these women, somehow, they didn't fall down in fear. There was the angel. They were ready to embrace the angel. That whole message of the song, we shall behold him. Maybe they were suddenly thinking, wow, could it be true? They hadn't even remembered Jesus' words that he was going to rise again. They just were going there for death. And he said, I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. They struggled with believing this because they couldn't see it. And yet in the depths of their being, they wanted to believe that Jesus was alive. They wanted to ask him into their hearts. They wanted this moment to take place for them. Many of you know that Debbie and I love to sail. We have a sailboat. If I had my way, not just Mondays and Fridays, but I would sail even more often than Mondays and Fridays. The more often I get, the easier it is for me to say yes to days off. If you call the office and Pastor Eric's not here, you might want to say, Ken, is he sailing again? Where's that guy at? Because I'll tell you what, people will say, Pastor Eric, I see you post these pictures on Facebook of you sailing. How often do you go? And I always say the same thing, not often enough. Not often enough. But here's the thing when you go sailing. You get out there and you put the sails up and you don't see the wind. It's impossible to see the wind. And yet, it moves the boat. And you cut across the ocean. In fact, when we head out, I always say the same thing to Debbie. I say, Debbie, you know, on the heading we're on right now, we could just keep on going and be at Hawaii in just not too long. And she'll look at me and say, yeah, like a month. She'll say, like a month out here. It's not happening, honey. And I'll say, just not too long if we just stay on this exact same heading. She said, yeah, you got an hour, honey. You know, that's what we're going to do. We'll turn around. But for us, you know, we don't see it. But there it is, and it empowers us. And it makes us go, so the fact that we know the next time we go, if anything, we worry about too much wind. If anything, we worry about there's going to be that which is too much for us to deal with. And that's the way it is in our faith. We don't see Jesus. We ask him into our hearts. He's at work. And then pretty soon what we start to worry about, man, that's too much, Jesus. Pastor wants me to do what? He wants me to stand up and sing, you know, We Shall Behold Him. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Aren't you glad I didn't ask you to sing that this Sunday for Easter? I mean, it was just for each of us to be able to say there's something that we can do, something that we can bring, because we believe that Jesus is alive. We've asked him into our hearts, and he's at work within us. Does it mean we're going to see everything? No. Debbie and I, one of the best parts about being on the ocean is all the stuff that we see on the ocean. Each time we go out, we start looking for seals, we look for dolphins. This time of year, we look for whales. And it's so much fun to see the whales. And we had a day not long ago where in one day we saw fin whales, we saw blue whales, the largest creatures on the planet, and gray whales, all in one day, swimming around our sailboat. It was incredible. It was just incredible. But a week or two ago, Debbie and I were out, and Debbie had said, you know, I'm kind of hungry. I'm going to go down and get a snack. And she went down below to get some crackers in a little drawer we have down below for whenever anybody's seasick or hungry or something like that. She went down below, and I'm sailing, and I'm there drinking. And I look over like that, and right out of the water, a humpback whale jumped up. You know, the kind just like in that commercial for MetLife or whatever, the ones with those big wings on the side of it. You know, it jumped right out of the water and clear out of the water. I mean, that thing must have been 40 or 50 feet long, and it just fell straight over backwards with this mighty splash. And I'm just like stunned. And it's unusual when I can't open my mouth. I mean, I'm like just incredible. And I say, Debbie, you got to come up here. You got to see this. And she gets up there, and of course, now the ocean's completely clear. Nothing. I mean, there's just nothing at all. You know, I say, Debbie, this whale just jumped right. Right, Eric, you know, really. Okay, it was a humpback, you know, like in the commercial, it just came all the way. And just as soon as I said it, another one came up, and it jumped up, and it fell. All right, thank you, Jesus. You know, I thought for sure she was going to be calling me crazy for the. But how many of us, that's the way we are when we have an experience with Christ Jesus. I mean, we have an experience with Christ Jesus, and we think nobody's ever going to feel like I feel about Jesus. Nobody's ever going to have a faith like I feel. My faith is, and then finally, someone else starts to respond to Christ. Someone else starts to say yes to Jesus, and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not the only lunatic in my family who believes in God. I'm not the only one who believes that there's a Lord and Savior. I'm not the only one who wants to lift him up on Easter. Thank you, Jesus. When we accept, when we believe that Jesus is alive, he works in and through us. Pastor Rick Warren, one of the quotes that I love this quote, and see if you can pick up on it quickly for the reason I love it. Rick Warren is so great at pulling out that which is practical, but this also says that which is almost the worst about us as believers. This is what Pastor Rick says. He says, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came to do three things. He came to have my past forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and a home in heaven. Now, what's wrong with that quote? And I believe all three of those things are true, to be honest. Let me tell you, all three of those things are true. But this is what the issue with that quote is this. It's what you get, what you get, what you get. Jesus came so that you get, so that you get, so that you get. You get a purpose. You get direction. You get a home in heaven. Bingo! What about that cross that we're supposed to lift up and follow him? What about all of those things that are involved in it? And so much of the teaching in the church today is about, this is what you're going to get. Come to Easter today. There are going to be 800. There are 800 Easter eggs out there today. Thank you so much for everyone who stuffed Easter eggs. Thank you so much, Tricia, for all that you did in this. Thank you so much, Cam, for being out here yesterday. Cam, thank you so much for everyone who donated candy and donated all. There are 800 eggs. We'll probably have 50 or 75 kids running around with bags just stuffed with eggs like this, you know, all over the place going home with all this crazy stuff. But what we want to go, well, what do I get out of this instead of, you know what, maybe I was given this life so I could see what I could give to life. See, don't you want to give something wonderful with your life? Don't you want to know at the end of the day that you gave your life to something glorious? that when it comes down to your last 6 months or last 6 days, and someone says, what are you thankful that you said yes to? You can say, I am so thankful that I said yes to volunteering at my church. I'm so thankful that I said yes to taking up a ministry. I'm so thankful that I said yes to the good things that Christ Jesus did in my life. I am so thankful for these things. Finally, we say yes to Jesus at Easter when we accept, when we believe, and then when we cast aside our fear and pride and say yes. When we cast aside our fear and pride and we say yes. I mean, what is it that keeps us from saying yes to Jesus? Well, first of all, it's our fear, right? It's our fear that we're going to think, well, people are going to think I'm crazy, that I believe that there was a God who was dead, who's alive again, and now he's living inside my heart somehow mysteriously, and that he also prepared a home for me in heaven, and he's giving me direction and purpose. It all sounds so good, but it's so strange. And so we have fear. And then there's the pride aspect of it. And I really believe the pride part's the bigger part, because who's been in charge of your household, your heart, and your life for most of your life? You have, right? You have. And when we say we want him to be Lord and Savior of our life, it's just not the home in heaven part, it's the Lord part in this part of our lives that we get. And he takes over. He's in charge. And we have to be willing to surrender all of that to him, to cast aside our fear, to cast aside our pride and say, yes, Jesus, I want to be with you. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. You see, they cast aside that which they were most frightened about. They cast aside that which, and they were going to go tell the disciples. They were just women, women who weren't even considered citizens, women who weren't even considered anything more than that which was to be owned, except by Jesus, who embraced them and lifted them up and loved them as his very own. And when they went, Jesus met them on the road. I think it's so profoundly important. It was to women that Jesus shared himself first in this moment. It was women who first of all went to go tell the men. My wife's never letting me forget it either. I'll tell you what, just continue. For each of us, I mean, to remember these moments in a time like this, because it's so easy for us to forget. My favorite Easter story in my life happened to me. I've told it probably a dozen Easters of the 29 Easters I've been here, but it happened when I lived in France. I was living in France. I was surfing in France for a spring back in 1977, so I guess that was 39 years ago or whatever it was. 1977, I was surfing there, and it was nobody surfed in France back then, and so we were surfing all on our own, and just south of the little town of Biarritz, France, on the Atlantic Ocean. It was cold, it was beautiful, and then suddenly, for Easter week, it was sunny and beautiful. It was sunny, it was glorious. We were there for the entire spring. We had a little apartment on the water. This was before Debbie and I were married, and or before we were together either. Debbie wasn't with me. Let me clarify that. Debbie wasn't with me. I was with one of my traveling partners, one of my surfing buddies, and we had been in the water. We had been in the water. I don't want to have to answer questions all day long. I'm sorry. Yeah. From my kids either. Yeah, we were what? Came up out of the water. Came up out of the water after surfing all morning. Just a glorious day of surfing. And bells were ringing all across this beautiful little city. Bells were ringing everywhere. And I went up to this little old French guy. And I said, you know, in French, I asked him, you know, what's the story? You know, qu'est-ce que c'est? What's going on? I mean, what's happening? And he looked at me, and in French he said, Jesus is alive. And I said, what? He said, Jesus is risen. I said, what do you mean? And he says, it's Easter. Jesus is alive. And I looked at my buddy Brad, gospel truth. I said, Brad, it's Sunday. I didn't even know it was Sunday, much less that it was Easter. How far have you been from God in your life? I've been so far from God in my life that not only did I not know it was Easter, I didn't even know it was Sunday. I was totally serving just me. No one other than me. And exactly what I wanted. And that turning point, that little old man, I always remember him because it was a call towards home. And I'd like to say that in that moment, I made a decision to go. I didn't. Nowhere near. I surfed that afternoon, too. I didn't go to church that day. Nothing spiritual happened in that moment. But that being said, it was a turning point that when I look back, that things started to change in my heart. They carried into my home, to carry it into my life, to carry it to this day forward. Today is Sunday. Today is Easter. Today is the day that we can celebrate, for those of you who believe in Christ Jesus, that we shall behold him. We shall behold him in all of his glory, then face to face. And just as now we are fully known, well, we also will fully know him. I got goosebumps when she sang. And when I think about it, I get goosebumps now at the very prospect of it. And my heart breaks that there are those of you who aren't certain about saying yes to Christ Jesus. This morning is your invitation to say yes. To say, yes, I want to accept Christ Jesus. I long to believe more than anything, and I want to cast aside all my pride, all my fear, and I want to follow him with my whole heart every day for the rest of my life. At the bottom of your card, there's a little place that we don't do too many altar calls at Central Community, but at Easter, we always give people to have that opportunity to commit their hearts to Christ Jesus for the first time or to recommit their hearts to Christ Jesus. An opportunity for you to do it publicly where you're able to step up and say, Pastor Eric, you know, this is what I want to do in my life. And so at the bottom it says, I'll say yes to Jesus this Easter, and then you just check off, yes, Jesus, come into my heart. Or yes, Jesus, I want a fresh start. Maybe this year, just a lot of garbage has gone on, and it's time for a fresh start in your life. Maybe you just need Jesus to come to your heart for the first time, and then you just write your name, your address, all that kind of stuff, your Gmail, so that I can stay in contact with you, and then you take it, you rip it off, and you have the opportunity that as a praise team, come on up here, Shay, come on up here, praise team, and as they come up here, after we pray and we sing, that you can come up here, and I'll just stand right here, and you can bring it up here, and we'll all pray together. And if you would like to say, you know, just like those women went forward, this is what I still believe. And as they went, as we leave this place today, that's when Jesus is going to come to you. Not right here in this moment, but as we leave, Jesus will come and he will move in your heart. He will touch you and he will give you the direction that you need. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning on this Easter morning. And we thank you so much for the glory of this day, the promise of your resurrection. We thank you so much that when the world did everything to kill the promise and the glory of the Father, that you stayed true. And you were lifted up, Father, to meet simple women on the road, to embrace them, to give them a commission to go, and to love them. Lord Jesus, we believe this morning that of all the things we say yes to, that this is the most important thing in our life to say yes to, and that's you, Jesus. To cast aside our fear and our pride, to believe that without you we're lost, to know that we can behold you in the world around us, in the face of those that we serve, in the face of little children, in the face of the hurting and the hungry, in the face of the opportunities that you give us to live out, Christ Jesus, when we're willing to accept that you're greater than us, you're bigger than us, that you're Lord, and that we're not. For that one who's here this morning, Lord Jesus, who this past year has been the greatest challenge of their life, and more than ever, they need to recommit their hearts to you, I would ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move, that you would continue the work that you began long before they walked into this building, that they might say yes to you. For that one who's here this morning that has wondered about accepting you as their Lord and Savior, but has been unwilling, they felt like they're unworthy, I would ask that this morning, Christ Jesus, could be the day that they make a decision. For each of us, Lord Jesus, I would ask that together we would be willing to put ourselves on the line for you, Lord Jesus. That this would be a wonderful, wonderful celebration of the resurrection. And that as we go, that you would come to us, that you would embrace us as we say yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you're ready, and if you'd like to bring your card forward, come on up here and I'll pray with you, all of us as a group of those two. Let's go ahead and sing. Love you. Maybe it'll just be us today.
Huh? That's okay with me.
I need it. Sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch. We'll pray in just a minute, okay?
Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now.
Lord Jesus, this morning we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together. Heavenly Father, I lift up those who've made a public profession before the fellowship today, and I would ask that you would be with each one of them, Father. I would ask that as they run to you, Father, that you would run to them and that you would embrace them, that you would give them the purpose, the direction, the promise of the reward, Father, that they might lift up the cross and follow you. Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to be together in this celebration this morning, we thank you, God. We thank you so much for the opportunity to what it means just to share in the hope of Christ Jesus, to share in the glory of the moment of Easter, to share. And today I would ask you, watch over, guide, direct, and protect each and every family that's here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.